It has stood the test of time. God's book, the Bible. Still relevant in today's complex world. It is written. Sharing hope around the globe.
I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. In 1903, the Ford Motor Company was born. It was founded by a 40-year-old man named Henry Ford, who had already tried to get into the automobile manufacturing business, but without a lot of success. This time around, within 10 years, Ford had introduced the assembly line into the manufacturing process, and in less than 20 years, was producing 1 million cars a year. Doubling his employees' pay not only meant that they were better off, but that there were a whole lot more people who could afford to buy Ford vehicles. Of course, that helped Henry Ford. Ford produced the famous Model T and the Model A and sold millions of each. The first car I ever owned was a Ford, a white 1969 Mark II Ford Cortina. A thing of beauty that I could start with a screwdriver. Unfortunately, it ended up in a wrecker's yard after I was hit by a drunk driver, but that's another story. Thank the Lord I walked away unhurt. Ford bought Lincoln in 1922, and then he brought the Mercury brand into the Ford fold in the 1930s. Down through the years, Ford has produced some classic vehicles, like the Thunderbird and the Mustang. There's been the Falcon and the Taurus and the Fiesta and the Explorer. Outside the United States, the Mondeo. And in the 1950s, Ford started work on a car it hoped would take the automotive world by storm. They poured hundreds of millions of dollars into making the car a success and named it in honor of Henry Ford's son, Edsel. But a success it was not. In 1958, the first year the Edsel went on the market, more than 63,000 Edsels sold, which was way short of what was hoped for. In 1959, that number dropped by about a third. In 1960, less than 3,000 Edsels sold. Ford lost a boatload of money, about $2 billion in today's value. The Edsel became synonymous with failure. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure why. Now, they say the car failed because of styling, engineering, and marketing. If you ask me, the Edsel wasn't the ugliest car ever. It wasn't even the ugliest Ford ever made. The Edsel wasn't that different technologically from other cars that were a success, and in fact, it boasted some improvements. The failure of the Edsel might even have had something to do with the media. Whatever the reasons, the Edsel sank like a rock. And what was the ultimate fallout of that colossal failure? Today, Ford is the fifth largest maker of automobiles in the world, second largest in the United States. The top-selling vehicle in the United States is often a Ford. No question the failure of the Edsel hurt Ford at the time, but over the years, the Ford company, like so many others, learned to weather failure and turn it around and enjoy success. Now, I've got another failure story for you. I wonder if you can figure out who I'm talking about. This is the story of a young man whose life began with great promise. But unlike Henry Ford, when this man was 40 years old, his life was falling apart. Now don't worry, the story has a happy ending. As a baby, he narrowly escaped death. Then he was raised in privilege, a member of the royal household of a prominent Middle Eastern country. He was given a world-class education. He was destined to become a high-ranking member of the royal family. But then one day, as a young man with the world at his feet, he witnessed an act of injustice that made him so angry, he murdered a man. He saw slaves being mistreated and flew into a rage so intense that he murdered the man who was mistreating the slave. Murder, as you know, is a serious business. And he realized that he had to leave town in order to save his own life. So he fled the royal household and spent the next 40 years living in an arid wilderness. This man had been bound for great things. God had especially set him up to be a high achiever, to be a man of great influence in the world. What did he do? He took God's gift and threw it away. Even his adoptive father was determined to kill him. Imagine that, having it all, then failing so badly, you lose it all. In place of luxury and wealth, this man became a fugitive, a criminal with a murder charge on his record, on the run in a Middle Eastern desert. How do you think it turned out? Well, let me ask you this. How do you think it should have turned out? He was bound for greatness but murdered a man. What do you think he deserved? Believe it or not, that man is in heaven right now. I'm serious. We've got evidence for it. This man who was a colossal failure is in heaven. How'd that happen? I'll tell you more in just a moment. Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Today, faith and failure. A young man raised in privilege, a young man with the world at his feet, a young man raised in a Middle Eastern royal family, murders someone and leaves behind his life of privilege and flees to live in an arid wilderness. Classic example of a man throwing his life away. You couldn't call this man much other than a failure. Yet the Bible tells us that this man is in heaven while we're talking here today. Seriously. I'll tell you why that is. Because God is able to take our failures and turn them into victories. It's a terrible thing to fall so far, to lose everything you have, everything you've worked for, maybe lose everything someone else has worked for you. The shame can be unbearable. The disappointment can be crushing. But God is able to take our messes and somehow get us through them and lead us on to a better tomorrow. How can I be so sure about that? Because that's what God did for Moses. Our young Middle Easterner who was raised in Pharaoh's household but fled when he murdered someone. And no matter which way you measure this thing, Moses had made a complete mess of his life. He'd been given so much, but he'd thrown it away. Instead of being the success he was raised to be, he was an abject failure. But God's in the business of working with failures. According to the Bible, Moses is in heaven right now. He appeared with Jesus when Jesus was transfigured. And it says this in the book of Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Evidently, Moses' body was resurrected and he was taken to heaven. A murderer, a failure, resurrected and taken to heaven. You see, that's what God can do with our failures if we let him. Moses is really the biblical poster boy for failure. God miraculously spared his life, and then not only did he murder the Egyptian and then spend 40 years in the wilderness, but leading God's people for another 40 years on the borders of the Promised Land, after having seen God and spoken with God and having stood at the burning bush, and after leading Israel through the Red Sea, and after seeing the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and after eating manna sent from God for four decades, he blew it again. In a peak of anger, he struck the rock to bring out water instead of speaking to the rock. God had to explain to Moses that his offense was so serious, he couldn't enter the Promised Land. Two strikes against him. And then what? Moses was resurrected and taken to the heavenly Promised Land. You know, too many people are ready to quit because of their failures. Happens in everyday life. I've heard of people who've gambled away everything they've had and then killed themselves. I know of people who've lost everything due to bad business deals or due to a challenging economy and have ended their lives, or they've gone nuts on drugs or alcohol and lost their family and friends. And it happens in church or in a person's relationship with God. A person will stumble, they'll fall, they'll embarrass themselves and their family, and then they feel they're not worthy of God's mercy, which is true, incidentally. We're not worthy. God gives it to us anyway. And very often people decide to give up on their faith. Give up on God. Look, if Moses can murder someone and still be commissioned by God to lead the Exodus, there has to be hope for you. If Moses can blow it at the rock and still be resurrected and taken to heaven, what does that say about the hope we have, even when we foul things up? Let's think about King David. Knowing better, he took another man's wife. He deliberately had the woman's husband killed in battle. He lied about it. He brought calamity upon his family. If David can go through all that and still be God's man, the leader of God's people, that has to reassure you that God is in the business of using broken people to accomplish great good. Now, I want you to be careful about something. This is not to say that the sins of David and Moses weren't of consequence or weren't serious. They were. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. Sin's a serious business. But what Moses and David did was they repented and they were accepted by God when they saw the seriousness of their sin and asked God to cleanse them of their sin. Look at David's repentance with me. We read about it in Psalm 51. Remember what David had done. Adultery, murder, dishonesty. He disgraced his throne and sadly misrepresented his God. But he comes to God understanding something. He understands that God is the God of the new start. David knows that he can rely on God to forgive him and to let him begin again. Psalm 51 is where we'll read. I want you to think about how encouraging this is if you've ever made mistakes. If you've ever done something you're not proud of, if you've ever failed even spectacularly, this is what David says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Then in verse 7, David says this. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop was used at the Passover to sprinkle blood upon the doorposts of the homes. It was used in special cleansing ceremonies in the Old Testament. David saw his need of cleansing. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And God did forgive David, to the extent that Jesus was referred to as the Son of David. David's quoted in the New Testament extensively, and he's included among the great faithful ones in Hebrews 11. So if you've failed, there's hope for you. Think of some of the other failures in the Bible, people who God then worked with and made new. There was the woman taken in adultery. A group of men were prepared to stone her, but what did Jesus do? He said to her, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." He didn't justify her sin, but he understood her repentance and accepted it, and sent her on her way forgiven and cleansed. There was the woman at the well. Jesus said to her, "You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now isn't your husband." Hardly a picture of stability and domestic bliss. But Jesus sought her out so he could forgive her and give her hope. He didn't seek her out to condemn her. Now we're familiar, many of us, with John 3:16, God so loved the world. But not as many people are familiar with the next verse, John 3:17, even though it's one of the most hopeful verses in the Bible. And it talks about God's plan to lift up the fallen, to turn around the lives of those who have failed. God is so good that even when we fail, He's able to give us hope. I have a good friend who's studying right now to be a Christian minister. He came to faith in Christ in a jail cell. His life was at rock bottom. He'd made some terrible errors of judgment. While he was in prison, he reached out to God and God lifted him up. Today, very much a free man, his life is dedicated to sharing hope with others. I've come to know men in prison on murder charges. Men have realized that a failure in this world doesn't have to mean eternal failure. They've learned that God is able to change your life and change your heart. And while that in no way means that God condones the crimes that were committed, there are people in prisons all over the world who know that God has given them new life. Their spiritual failures have been turned into spiritual victory. One night, Jesus spoke with a man named Nicodemus. He said this to him. You'll find it in John 3 and verse 17. Here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." If Jesus wanted to condemn you for your mistakes, He surely could. Paul wrote in Romans 3:23 that All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what God wants to do is forgive. He wants to remake. He wants to recreate and transform. Think of some of the great failures of the Bible. Peter denied Jesus, outright denied him. And what did Jesus do? After his resurrection, he sent a special message to Peter. Remember? An angel said to Mary at the tomb in Mark, you'll find this, Mark 16 and verse 7. An angel said to Mary at the tomb these words, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, that you will see him there as he said to you." That was reassurance for Peter. "Peter, I'm not done with you. You're still special to me. I still love you. I've still got a plan for you." Imagine how Peter must have felt to get that message from Jesus. There's no doubt he felt terrible for what he'd done. He probably was beating himself up badly. But Jesus reassures him, "I have not forgotten you, Peter, even though you failed." Think of King Manasseh. The Bible says a lot about King Manasseh, and almost all of it is very uncomplimentary. It says he sinned more than the heathen nations that the Lord destroyed. It says he did abominations. He made Israel sin with his idols. He shed innocent blood so that he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. That's what the Bible says. And what became of Manasseh? You read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It tells us there that Manasseh repented and he died a saved man. Manasseh was a failure, a disgrace. He was a despicable individual. But he came back from his failures and found faith in the God of heaven. There was Solomon who had all those wives and concubines, hundreds of them, and worshiped pagan gods. And yet God forgave him when he repented. I think about Abraham lying about Sarah, the great father of the faithful Abraham. He said, "Oh no, she's my sister, not my wife." His son Isaac did the same thing, lying about Rebekah, his wife, saying that Rebekah was his sister. Both men almost lost their way because they were cowardly and lied. They failed. Yet God forgave their spiritual failures. It's a wonder, but it seems their wives forgave them too. There was Aaron, the brother of Moses. He made an idol of gold, a golden calf, when Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. I mean, what was he thinking? And he comes up with a lame excuse saying that, "Oh, we just threw a bunch of gold in the fire, and what do you know? This calf just came out." I mean, that's ridiculous. And yet Aaron served God as God's high priest. The good news is, spiritual failure doesn't need to mean the end for you and me. Now, again, I got to emphasize this. I'm not minimizing the danger of sin or the danger of dishonoring God. There's a high price to pay for that. Our spiritual failures may come back and cause us trouble in our lives. That's true. But it's good to know that failing spiritually once or twice or over a period of years doesn't mean that God is done with us and can't use us and that we cannot enjoy everlasting life. We all need to hear that. We all have our issues, some more than others. And every day there are people crashing and burning spiritually. The devil wants those people to think that God's finished with them. Well, he isn't. Now I'm going to mention some other Bible characters. Judas sold Jesus to his murderers. King Saul just fell apart really and lost his way spiritually. Achan, who stole the gold and the clothing from the enemy and died as a result. You know, God could have forgiven them. God would have forgiven them. Except they never came to God to be forgiven. They didn't repent. And so they owned their failures and they were not forgiven. The greatest basketball player to ever play the game of basketball was Michael Jordan. An NBA champion 6 times, 2 Olympic gold medals, yet here's what Michael Jordan says. "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed." Now, basketball is just a game that doesn't mean a thing in the final analysis. But that's the attitude of a winner. It's the attitude of a Christian who trusts in Jesus. "I might have failed over and over again, but I know that God isn't finished with me, and I'm pushing forward. I'm hanging on." Reminds me of Thomas Edison. He said, "I'm not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward." He said, many of life's failures are men who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. I hope you remember that today, that God doesn't cast off those who stumble and fall. He's not finished with you when you fail, but He welcomes you back to forgive you and give you a new start. In fact, He has promised to do so. Today we've talked about faith and failure. I imagine if you're anything like me, it's not hard to remember your spiritual failures. I want to pray with you right now and ask that God will give you success in the place of defeat and disappointment. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of the new start. We thank you that you are able to take a failure and turn that person into a spiritual success. We thank you that you see beyond our mistakes, beyond our shortcomings, beyond our weaknesses, and you see what we can be through faith in Christ. So please today, Lord, let that be in our lives. Give us the grace not to repeat our past errors. And give us the encouragement we need that when we are low because of our stumbles and falls, to look up and remember that you welcome us into your arms and that you will cleanse us and forgive us. We thank you today that there is victory in Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, the Bible says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.